Welcome to our gathering and welcome to singing school. Did you have any needs you'd like us to pray about or thanksgivings?
John and Linda, my neighbor, across the road, they just found out that their daughter had cancer.
Amen. Our neighbors, John and Linda, Lauderdale, their daughter has been diagnosed with cancer of the liver, I believe. And let's pray for them. And you all remember the story I told about the morning of Monica and my wedding. And we're staying overnight at Lee Allgaier's house, and they're, you know, going to sing the next song of the book, and it just happens to be Peacefully Lay Her Down to Rest. And I thought that was so inappropriate an occasion for that song. Well, this morning my brother just told me that, of course, they're in southern Illinois, Ewing, where Monica grew up, and now a few years after that, let's say probably 10 years after our wedding, at least 10 years, maybe 12 years, one of the boys that were around that table was run over by a pickup truck, their farm pickup truck, fell off the back or something, but he was married at the time, and newly married, and passed away. We had gone over for that funeral. But now, just this morning, James, he's another of the boys there, he's my age, between Monica and me. His wife, Corina, passed away. And so they're laying someone to rest this week, probably. And so I just ask you to pray for them. And I think about that. Maybe Lee, the father, had a premonition that these joys, we take them with gratitude, the joys of life, marriage, and family. But our lives are hanging by a thread, as it were, and it is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away, like the scripture says. So I pray for James and the Lee Allgaier. Lee is his father. Pray for that family. They're going through sorrow upon sorrow. I thought maybe he had a premonition about that it would still be appropriate to sing that, because life is their sadness that is part of life as well. So, wanted to share that with y'all. Is there any others you might have prayer with us?
Betty and Troy are asking to pray for Lois, her daughter-in-law that was in. Lois used to be Miller, and Mary Miller's daughter, Mary Decker. She got injured with a tiller on her leg, a little bad.
That was this week, is that right?
It was Monday evening.
The tiller caught her dress, is that right?
Caught her dress and pulled her leg into it.
Amen. Lloyd and Betty, who the brethren have talked about so many times, I still want to meet him. But their son's wife. Yeah. And they're in State College, Pennsylvania, where they live. And Lloyd, if you remember, they had gone to visit David and Kevin had gone to visit Lloyd in the hospital. It's already 10 years ago. And I can hardly believe Kevin was just exclaiming to how it's amazing that time has passed that swiftly. That Lloyd was in the hospital with cancer. And he got over that. It's already 10 years ago. Let's pray for Lois. Let's pray for Lois, injured in the tiller. Mother of five children. Let's pray. Our loving Father in heaven, like the song we sang this morning, unnumbered comforts you have bestowed upon us before our infant heart could ever conceive where these blessings came from. Dear God, from age to age, from everlasting to everlasting, you are there and you've made us. And we understand that you know our frame, you know our whole being so well. And we give ourselves to you and thank you as the giver of every perfect, good and perfect gift this morning. And we rejoice in the comforts and the blessings, the 10,000 precious gifts you've given to us, dear God, that we're not worthy of at all. And dear Father, we pray for those who are experiencing some of the sorrows and the hurts of life, too. We pray for the Allgaier family. Pray for James, especially, the husband, and their loss of the mother and wife. Dear God, answer mercy on them. And we pray for you would keep healing Edgar in Guatemala. Thank you so much. He's home from the hospital. We ask you for him and his family. And we ask you for John Lauderdale's and the sickness that the daughter has. We ask your mercy on them and healing on their daughter. We ask, pray for Lois, married to Lloyd Troyer's son. Lord, we pray for them. Pray for her, heal her, and bless their family. Thank you, Lord. Pray for Brother David. Pray for Sister Joanne. Pray for Sister Joanne's family. Some of them that they're with. Dear God, we ask for our brethren near and far, those who are in other countries this morning, be near them. And thank you for your goodness again. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let's sing again. So glad to be back with you this morning. You can stand. We're going to sing number 29. And after this one, I would like yours, your selections, if you have it. If not, I'll go with mine. Lead me safely on. And I like to move pretty good with this. There's an urgency in here as we're moving in this narrow way. Lead me safely.
By the streets and narrow.
right in there, but it's your turn. All ready to go. Got two boys here back there that their stature has not increased just because of time. It just takes a little time for your stature to increase. Come out here where we can see. Just come right up here. Near Sister Kim is fine. Abel, you can come in beside Christiana if you don't mind. It's not going to hurt one bit. Let's see here. Okay, you there, and Clayton, you right beside your second cousin, Evangeline. Perfect, right there. We've got to be able to see you. I see you hiding back there, and you'll be left out. That'd be too bad. So, do you have one for me?
121.
That was quick. If you'll remember that, maybe for the next time to be where you can have a good view of me, the leader. Okay, 121. Passion Chorale, harmonized by Johann Sebastian Bach. And that's probably why that music is so precious here. It's really, really good. Good music, it complements these words. O sacred head, now move. Okay, these bird's eyes. Let's skip all the bird's eyes that are in the middle. See where my finger goes down through the middle there? Skip that bird's eye. We're going to move right through there. Remember the bird's eye gets held where we're holding it out another time, the value of that note, and we're going to do that over on the end. We're going to hold it out another quarter note over on the end. Another quarter note, so it's like going to be four beats out on that end. We're going to hold that out. So the whole way on the ends of our, what are these called? Someone quickly. These particular lines are called, of music, are called what?
Stanzas?
No, a stanza would be a verse, the numbered ones, you know, the numbered where we sing our stanzas. And then this is a?
Call the stave.
Actually, the stave would be the five line, four spaces.
Score.
Score of music there. These are the scores of music. So we say 1, 2, 3, 4. This is a four score song. Okay, remember that. Skipping that bird's eye in the middle, holding it out at the end. I'm so glad you chose this. Jaden, right? Let's do our notes. We need to do our notes. Do mi on soprano, mi la sol fa mi re. Trying the low soprano, don't do it. Stay up there with the rest of them. I'm gonna try that again. We're gonna have to work on this. It's so weak. wrench is out. Thank you. First verse. Just be fine. If anyone else, don't want you keeling over on a fine spring morning. Oh, yeah. Third verse.
Thy pity will
Those commas. Observe them. Mine. Get a breath right there. Don't just say, mine. Say, mine was the... Those commas deserve a little... Catch your breath there. Get a little breath right there. And enjoy the tenors. Listen to them do that. Oh, sacred head. And they go, oh, sacred head, what glory. You hear them? It's beautiful in there. And one more thing. Lord, let me never outlive my love to thee. Be here when I am dying. Oh, sure thy cross to me, and for my suffering flying, come Lord to set me free. Passion Chorale. Beautiful. Another one?
109.
You like all these slurs? Many slurs. Just go up the steps and down. That's 119. You have 119. Go to 109. Okay. Back up a little. Way back to 109. 109. There you go.
Savior, teach me day. First love me.
stand out to me? Are you tenors up there at the end of the first chord? Strong to follow in thy grace. I got a little wrong there, but anyway, they flat over there. They go back to a, they flat the, no, you're actually going back to a normal. The natural is a sharped. It would actually be a sharped fa, like a little higher, half step higher, and then the flat turns it back to a natural fa. So I just really hear you tenor doing that, and that's a real blessing right in there. And also you basses with your la at the end. Loving him who first loved me. Did you hear that? They go, loving him who first loved me.
That's and you got an alto up there.
Yeah. Where is that? Oh, yeah. Yes. It makes a hymn precious. It's just up here, from up here, it's just a real blessing to hear those chords come out. And you see how the feel of that, what that does there. Savior, teach me day by day, love sweet lesson to obey. Let's sing that first line together and just stop with obey there. And you tenors, get your naturals out there, which is a slightly sharp, which is a half step above on the fa, and taper that off. And you'll see what I'm talking about. Let's do it.
Savior, teach me day by day, love sweet lesson to obey.
You hear that? It gets you ready for what we're going to tell you. Savior, teach me day by day, love sweet lesson to obey. And you're just, that note right there gets you ready for a message. Sweeter lesson cannot be loving him who first loved me. We're enlarging. We're telling you about this lesson that we've got to give this morning. And that's just really good.
That's all I had is the march tempo of the song. It sort of gives you the idea of encouraging yourself.
Amen.
It might be drudgery, but there's a song that just keeps you marching.
Learning how to, as hard as it is, to learn, to love.
And then the repeated notes, you know, there's persistent passage and peace.
Yeah. Real blessing. Any other thoughts? We've got to just let's sing the first verse all together again. And I want you to especially enjoy the bass as well at the very end there. Now I've lost my place. There we go. No. We're wrong. I did the wrong note here. If I could find F for us all. Next chord is going to beat me to it. Servant.
across the page, we're going to speed up.
Okay. Speed away.
That the light of the gospel shine o'er every land. Go forth in his name, and the gospel proclaim. Speed away, speed away, speed away. Speed away, speed away.
Give something about last week's sermon, and I got when Jesus was in the garden the night before the crucifixion. He was going through a real hard time, and he wanted his disciples to just stay and watch with him for 1 hour, and then they fell asleep, so it made it even harder for him.
You do not have to make a cross.
Start over again. We
do not have to make a cross.
Our cross?
Our cross comes when we choose to follow Jesus.
When we're following Jesus and doing what's right, a lot of times there's a cross there that needs taken up, and if we're like making up things like and saying, oh, that's my cross, and doing extra things that aren't necessary or whatever, you get distracted, and when the real cross comes, you're not ready to take it up and bear it. So if you're just following Jesus and doing what's right, when the real cross comes, you can bear it.
Since we weren't here last week, my dad said that we should get something from the sermon in the church in Pennsylvania where we went to. And it was about Eli. And he said that he thinks that a big problem with Eli was that he was too tender with his family and with his boys. So when there was something, when his boys were sinning, he probably told him better not do it, but he wasn't hard enough with it. And so God punished him for that.
Something that stood out from me, to me from the message is about how the cross isn't something that you just made up or even just some little hard thing that happened in your day or something, but it's when you have to submit your will to do what, you know, God wants you to do.
They talked about Solomon when he built the temple. He had his men work hard, and he wasn't going to give up. He just kept on until he got it done.
For 2 weeks ago, when about resting place or entering in, what do you think it means? And I thought, you work all your life trying to be a good Christian, good man, and then when you, on the judgment day, Jesus takes you in to his resting place and takes the burden and you're entered into eternal rest.
In the Mennonite church, the preacher talks some about churches that have reached the 200-year mark and how good that is, and that's just not really an important thing for a church to last. We're not here, you know, meeting together just to have our church last 200 years. And my dad said certain things like that's why he decided to leave.
I have last week's assignment. I had Matthew 11:28-29-30. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
I got something from 2 weeks ago about entering into the rest. It's in Romans 10, verse 3. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. And I thought that's kind of, they just wanted to establish their own doctrines and their own things. They didn't just rest in God and believe Him and trust Him.
What stood out to me in David's message last week was the fact that we don't see our cross. And I thought about how a child, you know, they don't see everything that they're going to have to learn or that their parents guide them through it, and they learn to trust their parents, and that's how we should be with God. And He's going to lead us in the light just one step at a time. And I thought about my life, how I did not see the obstacles that I'd be coming up against when I decided I wanted to follow the Lord. And they're such mundane things every day, but that's what it takes, you know. And if we trust Him and do it a day at a time and walk in the light, that's all we can do, and we will grow in Him. And so I guess the main thing is we don't see our cross. And it's for God to give to us, because He knows, as our Father, He knows what we need, and He knows we're all strayed from Him, and He knows how to bring us back if we're willing. So
I thought about how David said part of the cross is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, choosing between His will and God's will. So carrying our cross can just be each day laying down our will for His.
I got kind of the same as what Roger was saying, that they were talking about Eli and how he told his sons to do what was right, to quit going against the law, but he didn't really get serious about it and make sure it would get done. That was just kind of neat to see it was just a story out of the Old Testament they were preaching off of there. It's not near as deep as what we hear Brother David preach a lot.